the dark, I fed my dream. Purple culture flows like sweet streams. I'm the daddy with the know-how seed. Creating the world like it's meant to be. Purple culture, B-I-O-V, I'm the king. Wrapping up in everything. Bring a change, making it last.
Welcome to episode 472 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only Pimpcast on this earth that discusses permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes prostitutes.
Permaculture, P-I-M-P, with soulful grace, in a VIP Pimpcast, where we find out.
Oh, well, good Wednesday to everybody. Yeah, this is one of my off-the-cuff interviews because I'm really, really looking forward to it. Right off the bat, I want to give a shout out and a hat tip to my man, Raul. He's in the chat right now, Raul Firmamental. He's been such a blessing in my life in so many different ways and extraordinary guy. And can't wait. You know, he's got a really cool YouTube channel. Raul, put it in the chat if you would, and I'll be sure to chat it out or shout it out. And anyway, good friend of mine. And isn't that funny, folks, how the people you wish lived down the street from you don't, and you're always surrounded by the people. You're always surrounded by the people that are, you know, really, really comfortable at the bottom of Plato's cave. Anyway, this episode, as always, brought to you by the Sovereign Health Summit. That's going to be October 27th through the 31st. That's going to be in Harmony, North Carolina. Barbara O'Neill is going to be our headliner. And TPC, Tango Papa Charlie, will get you 5% off. And folks, we're going 5% because honestly, it's already a bargain to begin with. Barbara O'Neill is going to be our headliner, and everybody we're bringing in would absolutely headline a show all by their lonesome. So get over there, especially with all the nonsense that they have dropping from the sky right now. Yeah, speaking of which, here I am in Western North Carolina, and you're telling me that these Canadian fires are dropping all of these particulates or whatever you call them, that it's coming down here when the dominant wind, folks, go to any chat bot or whatever, find out where the dominant wind is coming from this time of year. It's coming from southwest and northeast. So how is it Canada? We're getting Canadian weather down here. I'd like to know that. Anyway, yeah, heavy metal detox, folks. You're going to learn that at the Sovereign Health Summit. EMF rocks, 10% off with promo code PERMA. And then you know me, folks, I'm G'd up from the feet up, and that means grounded. So you can get your grounding mats, all the stuff you need in terms of grounding over at Redemption Shield. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. And then finally, look, if you can't make BioComplete Combat, I can't even believe I just said that. If you can't make BioComplete Compost, I guess I said combat because it feels like what we're in every single day. If you can't make BioComplete Compost like the Permaculture Pimp Daddy, look, Soil Saviors is your answer. You can get it over there. You can get it down below. We have it link in all the show notes, so go check it out. Helps us out a great deal. All right, I handled all the housekeeping up front because I don't want to take any time away from our guest. I'll be honest, he probably doesn't know this, but I'm a big fan of his work. I'm a big fan of both of his podcasts, and once again, Raul was the guy who turned me on to him, and it was Fact Hunter, and that's one podcast, and then Flat Earth Files is the other. But he's also an author. We're going to come to that here in a little bit, but his name is George Hobbs, folks, and I highly suggest everybody, I'm telling y'all, it's one of the best podcasts out there you don't know about. And if you're into finding out the esoteric meaning to all this nonsense that's going out there and you want to hear it from a Christian perspective, there's no better person out there than George Hobbs. And George, it is a joy and a pleasure to have you on. Thanks, bro.
Billy, thanks for having me. And yeah, shout out to Raul. He's such a good man. We chat every day and just blessed that he was able to connect us together.
Yeah, it's oh my goodness, man. It is definitely a joy to have Raul out there. So Raul, make sure everybody behaves in the chat. And folks, you know the deal out there. Don't get crazy. Don't get weird. Otherwise, some of our sensors, but anyway, the people monitoring what's going on there will definitely take you down. So, yeah, somebody says Mark Levin does not approve this message. No, he would not.
No, probably. He would not.
Not on any level. So, George, you know, every superhero has an origin story. So, you know, for all those out there discovering you for the first time, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background before you got into podcasting?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm 57 now, so the origin story goes back quite a way. But to give you the Cliff Notes version, I was born and raised in the suburbs of Wilmington, Delaware. Just a normal, you know, upbringing. My father was blue collar. He was a mailman. And all of our family before my father and everybody else all served in the military, World War II, Korea, World War I, all the way back to the Civil War. And so for me, it wasn't a matter if, you know, when I was going to, or if I was going to join the military, it was when. And I think it was 6 weeks after I graduated high school, I got off the bus at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, and did that. And I was in the Delaware National Guards. I started off the first part of my career in the National Guards. Because, you know, in the National Guards, you don't get deployed. It's just for state emergencies. And then my daughter was born on August 2nd, 1990. So we're literally in the hospital delivering a baby. And the news comes on that this Saddam Hussein guy just invaded Kuwait. And I'm like, where's Iraq? And the Lord's like, I'm going to show you. And, you know, we got activated. My father's unit got activated. We were both in the Delaware Guards, but we were in separate units. And we went over there, and it was, you know, in a sports term, it was a blowout, obviously. And if you remember back, I don't know how many of you all are in my age group, but the spin up to the war was like they were the third greatest military in the world. These guys couldn't even maintain their Humvees. I mean, their story to get us all ramped up to go in there was just a joke. And we realized that pretty quickly. But my father, we both came home. I had some issues, not so major, but my father had some very major issues, health issues, and the VA denied his service. And all that was going on. Are you familiar with the Naira Al-Sabah story?
No, not as okay. I know the name, but not I don't know the story.
So if you remember back before we actually started the war, so it was during the Desert Shield time.
Wait, that is this
15-year-old is this the girl?
Yeah, he's in the incubators.
Yes.
Okay, I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, so she's crying in front of Congress saying that she witnessed all these Iraqi soldiers pull babies out of incubators. Well, 1992, you know, Nightline runs the story about how the whole thing was made up and that the girl who testified, she was actually the daughter to the Kuwaiti ambassador to the United States, and she hadn't even been to Kuwait in a decade. And there was $10 million spent on her, you know, to coach her up to act that way. And my dad was, I don't want to say devastated, but he felt really, you know, between the VA not taking care of him and, you know, that lie to get people's emotions up to lead us into war. And he had to retire from the post office because he was debilitated. His knee was jacked up. And again, you're a letter carrier. You're out there pounding the pavement all day. And he ended up being testifying in front of President Clinton's Gulf War syndrome. If you go back on C-SPAN, I think it was August 1994, 95. He was the first one to speak. And he didn't really have a great, his health really deteriorated and he suffered towards the end of his life. And he passed before COVID and it caused me to move, I guess I should add in, got out of the Guards, joined active duty in the mid-90s, and, you know, I did Operation Joint Forge, which was in Hungary and Croatia and Sarajevo, but then 9/11 happened, and I was a normie back at the time, and I was all ramped up, ready to go to defend our country, and then again, you cross the berm, and it was at March or April of 2003, and it was 91 all over again. These people were like, Mr. Food, and it was just... And then there's no weapons of mass destruction. And then, well, why are we still here? Are we going home? Well, no, you're going to stay here for a year because this and that. And then I ended up doing four tours, 51 months in total, from 2003 to 2011. I was in Iraq every calendar year. And you see all the things that go on. I was privy to some pretty big contracts, and I started to understand the military-industrial complex. If you all have never read a book by Smedley Butler called War is a Racket, I can vouch for you that war is a racket, but it always comes at our expense. The people at the top, like that clown show that went on in DC today, you had all the people that, you know, Fauci's going to get arrested. Today is the day. No, it's not. And even Trump came out a couple hours ago and he's like, well, you know, Biden pardoned him. We can't do anything with him. It's a clown show when we're always part of our own demise. And after I retired, Billy, I started to take the time and unpack all of the things that I saw and dealt with over the last 20 years. Even interactions with General Petraeus and the contracts I had seen, and just seeing the horrors of war and the price that were paid. And then you start asking questions, well, why did 58,000 people die in Vietnam? And then you look at the whole Gulf of, what was it called? The Gulf of Tonkin. Okay. That was all a lie. And you go back through history and you understand there's two sides to every story. That's why history is called his story. And then you just keep peeling the layers. And I started to get into like William Cooper's Behold a Pale Horse and all those other kind of books. All the while, my Bible's like sitting right next to me collecting dust. And all the while, I'm doing these rabbit holes, whether it's 9/11, Waco, Oklahoma City, they all kind of converged back to the same good versus evil. And then you start to look at the spiritual side of things. And you understand this is all in the Bible. We're living it as we, you know, eat and breathe. And I started focusing more on that. And then I really started to understand where we are in the world and the lies that have been perpetuated upon us. And much of it, again, is our own problem because we listen to people instead of looking for ourselves. For instance, look at 2020. We had the internet in 2020. People could look up the history of vaccinations, and even if you are a person who supports vaccinations, you would know that it normally takes 12 or 15 years for a vaccination to go through all the tests, all the trials, and 9 months later, boom, we have these magical vaccines. And listen, if you have a magical elixir, brother, that can fix anything, you don't have to give it away. You don't have to give it away with burgers and joints and all these other things. People will want something that works. And once you started to see people pressing you and threatening you, and you know, it came to me very clearly that we weren't going anywhere near this stuff. And in 2020, which was, I don't know about you, Billy, but even with the combat involved, 2020 was the most evil year of my life, witnessing, you know, people die without allowing their loved ones next to them. Only one person can be in the room. You have to be 6 feet away. And my wife, who was a registered nurse in a hospital, you know, it was her face that many people saw as they died when it should have been their family members. And my wife, you know, and all the other nurses were hailed as heroes. And then the next year, when she refused the jab, they made her wear not one, but two masks. So it was this humiliation ritual. So people could see, you know, they're the ones who won't get the vaccine. And she ended up having to leave her job. But you know what? We didn't cry. We didn't complain because she still has her health intact to this very day. And, you know, and that's when you get to the spiritual side of things is, man, this world we live in, there's going to be many trials, many tribulations. But if you have faith in Christ, you know that this is just a journey, not a destination. And it's going to take strong men to stand up and speak the truth. And it's not comfortable all the time. I speak a lot of truth, and I think people are going to be really receptive to it, and I get shut down. But you, if you know it's the truth and you have, you know, the biblical text to support it, you need to speak the truth.
That's about as mic drop as it's ever going to get. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let me back up a little bit, George. I'm going to say a word, and it's going to tell me whether or not you and I had the same MOS, Essayance.
So my first, I reclassed, but yes, engineers, baby.
Okay. yeah. Okay.
Bravo. I'm not sure. I think they're 25s maybe now. They reclassed them, but I went to Fort Leonard Wood, brother, 1987.
Yeah. I had to go there twice. It's the second time for sapper school, but yeah. Sapper school. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, two times at, you know, Little Korea over there in Leonard Woods. So anyway, that's cool, man. I knew I liked you. I knew I liked you for more than one reason. Okay. All right. Same MOS. I'm sure we got a whole lot of other things in common too. Wow. Let's kind of kick over to your podcast and then we'll eventually circle around to your book, folks. I wanted George on here for a whole variety of reasons. I've been, you know, we kind of keep missing each other. And also the powers that shouldn't be keep playing with my email, as I've been telling everybody forever and a day. I'll get this junk email all day, but, you know, I can't get George's email. Yep. I can't get, you know, oh, shoot. Yeah. Who was the email I got? Oh, it was kind of important. It came from Dane Wigington. He's asking me to do a little bit of an experiment out here, and it shows up six. It's dated 6 days behind when it actually showed up, so it was no longer relevant by the time I got it. So apparently it's happening to Dane. It's happening to a number of others out there. Anyway, George, I got to ask you. I mean, man, I can already tell there's so many nuggets you dropped there that I just want to pick apart. But I'm gonna ask you about your podcast, at least the first one. Then we'll go into the second one here in a moment. It seems almost a rhetorical question to ask, but I got to ask, what made you decide to go into the podcasting game when there, it seems everybody says it's saturated with way too many people out here? I don't necessarily agree. I just think you will find what it is you're looking for. And like Raul brought me to you, and you bring a lot of the same information, but from a slant that I'm going to relate a whole lot more to. I got to know what made you think, okay, man, I'm, you know, out of the military, I'm retired, got all this other stuff going on. Was it just something to do in retirement, or what brought you there?
I think it's two part, you know, the transition. Anytime you have a major transition in life, it's very difficult. Even it's not just military. If you work at the same factory for 30 years, you know, you have the same routine. And when something like that changes, it's a bit of a journey to figure out where you're going from there. Now, some people in the military, they do their 20, 25 years and they just transition to the next thing. For me, you know, I wanted to get into the business world. And again, we all have our journeys, and I made some great friends and learned a lot of life lessons. And all that time, it certainly gave me to do research when I'm working 75 hours a week in my retail store. But, you know, when you start coming on these truths, and I know everybody who's in this truth community knows exactly what I'm talking about. When you go up to somebody and say, hey, have you heard about Operation Popeye? This cloud seeding thing's been going on since Vietnam. Or, hey, you know, did you know this about Waco? Or, of course, the big one nobody knows about, which ties in with the dispensationalism book, like the USS Liberty. People weren't interested. You know, all the friends that I've had, even buddies who I, you know, went downrange with several times, they just weren't interested in it. So for me, it was therapeutic to be able to sit. I was never comfortable, you know, when you go to the VA, you got to see the psychiatrist, and I never felt comfortable talking to a stranger about my problems. When I started sitting behind a microphone and talking, I felt like I was talking to like an unfamiliar friend, and it was very therapeutic for me when I was going through an extremely difficult transition in my life, trying to find myself again. I didn't want to be identified, or I don't want to be remembered just because I served in the Army. I want to make a real difference in the world beyond, you know, what we're kind of programmed to believe. And I am proud that I served. I am loyal to those with whom I served. But our government, you know, is very disloyal to us. And I, too, was one of those guys. I was on the Trump train, and I had met Hillary Clinton in person. I had met the Bush, George Bush, and some different people through my avenues in the military. And they played us pretty good. I've become a strictly apolitical person before I go any further. I think the left wing and the right wing belong to the same corrupt bird. And I think that we all need to get out of that paradigm, not necessarily at the local level. If you can reach out and touch someone, then you should vote for, you know, that position. But the federal government, they are so far protected. The Organic Act of 1871 turned this country into a corporation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where we're at now with a Federal Reserve and this really, it is a socialist government. If you really look at it with a clean slate, just look at it for what it is. Now, what we're told what it is, it's such a very heavy socialist dependent country. Whereas before, you know, people look to their neighbors, people look to their church, but society post Civil War had been flipped completely upside down. And, you know, everybody is so reliant on the state. And the series I'm doing now on the Fact Hunter, I think we're going into layer 11 called Exposing the Matrix. We look at all the different layers, the financial matrix, the war matrix, and all of the things that make up the system we live in. We're wrapping in religion as well, dispensationalism. All of those things are kind of wrapped up. It's not the people, right? You hear people complain about soldiers. You hear back in 2020, it was the doctors and nurses. It is so much deeper than that. It is the system that we've been woven into that was hijacked here in the States by the Rockefellers after 1900. They overtook the medical industry. They overtook education. Once again, that's why the USS Liberty is nowhere in your history books. And things of that nature. So they have woven a society that we've become dependent on, right? In 2020, the police said, hey, I'm just doing my job. Sorry, I have to close your church. I'm just doing my job. Sorry, I can't let you, you know, I can't let you in to see your dying mother. I'm just doing your job. It is the system that has been woven. And I've said this before, Billy, I don't know about you. Imagine 19 years in the military. I retired in 2015. Imagine it's 2019 or 2020, right? And you have 19 years in the military and you're told jab or your retirement. Imagine those guys who were put in that predicament, brother. And that's why, you know, I don't judge and praise the Lord for what people like yourself and others do with the detox and Dr. Artis. I think you've had him on before, right? Dr. Brian Artis. I had him on many years ago. And, you know, I am too. We're on a homeopathic kind of trail. We got a little less than 2 acres. We don't have a whole lot, but it's enough to raise our meat chickens and egg layers. And I just installed a cloud buster, William Reich's cloud buster, about a month ago. So I'm not permaculture quite yet, but we're working on trying to do everything we can to become self-reliant. Now, I'm not a full-blown what you would call prepper, because I think where we're headed, it doesn't matter if you live on the most southern tip of Chile or you live in New York City, this one world government and everything that's coming is going to affect everybody. But, you know, it's going to give you a better chance to survive outside of that system, the beast system, if you will.
Now, it sounds like your reasoning for starting a podcast was very much my own. Yeah. You know, we have a YouTube channel where we show people how to farm and how to do it inexpensively and how to raise all your stuff for free. But then there was this other part of me that a lot of people had never seen, because, you know, primarily on YouTube, that's what I would talk about. But I was finding out that over and over and over, and just like you around 2020, I really started to feel the hammer fall down. We got kicked off for 2 weeks, George, because we had a guest bring up elements on the periodic table and how it might actually help. And I thought, okay, as a cathartic release, and as a way to, you know, be able to talk about the things that mean a whole lot to me and not have any censorship at all, I'm going to go strictly to an audio platform and I'm just going to do a podcast. So under that PIMPcast thing, which stands for Permaculture is My Passion, there's a whole lot in there. And believe me, I'm like you, I'm thinking about starting up a second podcast where it's called Occulted History. There you go. You're bringing up a whole lot of stuff there just a moment ago, everything from Smedley Butler. I mean, people think Smedley Butler is a guy working at the Biltmore down the road. No, y'all, he would have been the only man to win the Congressional Medal of Honor 3 times had he not turned down the third, you know, attempt to give it to him. Extraordinary guy. But it sounds like you and I got a whole lot in common. But let me hit you up with this other podcast before we get into the book. Now, you got another podcast out there. Of course, this is going to be controversial to some. But George brings the receipts, just like Raul did when he was on here. In fact, I can honestly say that I never once seriously considered any of this. I'd heard about it, and I wasn't a hard sell because I was already aware of the fact that everything the powers that shouldn't be tell us is a manufactured lie. So why wouldn't this be as well? So George, let me ask you about the Flat Earth Files podcast. What was the motivation behind that, and why didn't you just put it under, you know, the Fact Hunter?
Great questions, and I'll try to stay more on track than the last time.
No, it's all good, man. You're knocking it out of the park, really.
So it was early in the Fact Hunter. I think at a probably maybe 4 or 5 months into the podcast, And I told people at the end, you know, send us an email if you'd like to come on. Love to have you. There's no topic, you know, that I don't want to touch. And then I check my email one morning, and it's from a guy named David Weiss. And the topic was flat Earth. And I opened it up and I laughed. I thought, wow, I just thought this was something they said on television and the movies. I didn't really realize that there was people who didn't believe we lived on a globe. You know, we were taught that. And this is, you start to understand that's one of the earliest things that you're taught as a child. They even hang it above your crib. And if you go back and watch any movie or any TV show post 1955, you're going to find a globe in that movie or TV show repeatedly. And the word global, all of those things, universal, going back into the early 1900s, that logo is on there. So I deleted the email and I felt bad. The next day I go back into the trash, click on it, pull it back out. And I emailed it and I was like, what's up? You know, actually there was a link on there. He had an interview with somebody. He said, hey, check this out. And I went and listened and it made a little bit of sense. I said, okay. And I scheduled him on, I think 2 weeks down the road. And I started going from one video to the next. Then I started looking into certain books. And then I broke out the Bible. I had heard something on one of the YouTube videos, and they mentioned this word firmament and Isaiah 40:22, how God stopped the sun and the moon, not the earth. And, you know, in church, the pastors always like to say, be a Berean. And that's the group of folks that is spoken about in Acts 17, verse 11. And, you know, Paul comes into town and he's witnessing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And instead of just taking his word for it, they pull out the scriptures and they're, okay, yeah, that matches. Yep. That must be the word of God. So unlike what we do today, right? We'll go to the NIH's website. We'll go to Google. We'll go to WebMD instead of, hey, maybe we should look at the word of God first. So anyway, I reach out to him, schedule an interview. And after 2 weeks of trying to debunk this thing, and I mean 2 weeks of no sleep, and I mean no sleep, my world was turned upside down. That had probably a bigger impact on my life than on most, outside of the 9/11 rabbit hole, because it affected me so personally. And all of us, right? What was the name of that law they passed? The Patriot Act. That was Patriot Act, the most patriotic act ever passed. I had him on and I'd already become a flat earther by the time Dave came on. We had a great conversation and it was so exciting. You know, I said, I can't wait after I recorded it. I can't wait to put out this podcast. My audience is going to be blown away when I expose this lie that we live on a spinning ball. And I published the episode and the next day, brother, I've got 50 emails saying that, man, I thought you were going to be a good podcast. You're just another crazy flat earther and everything else. And how many times in our lives have we been excited about a truth that we found and we go to tell somebody else and they just look at you like, are you crazy? And even when you show them in the Bible word for word and you disprove their math, like curvature, which can be easily debunked, and all the satanic numerology and heliocentrism, and even the great fathers of the church like Martin Luther, he called Copernicus a heretic. He said that was all nonsense. All of this stuff, including dispensationalism, has come around. You know, obviously Copernicus was 500 years ago, but it didn't really start to take hold until the last couple of hundred years. And there's an old saying, Billy, if a doctrine is new, it's probably not sound. And if a doctrine is sound, it's probably not new. Dispensationalism, heliocentrism, evolution, Big Bang Theory. All of those things are to make you believe we live on a rock that has been spinning out of control for 14 billion years. And what that does, it makes you a trivial, not special creation. When this world is only, according to the Bible, 6,000 years old, God, Imago Dei, right? You are made in God's image. And these people want to tell you, nope, you're not special. You're a blip on a 14 billion year calendar. And yeah, that was when the scales completely fell from my eyes. If you have seen that movie, They Live, that was the moment the sunglasses went on and I could see the vaccines were fake. The globe was fake. And sure, there's been one or two times when I wish I could un-red pill myself. Not really. But I'll tell you what. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no. Go right ahead. I thought you were done. I think we have a little bit of a delay here, but as you were.
No, no, no. I was just saying it was such. But it also, there is a disconnect from people who are not awake. Because for me, Billy, it's so boring to have a conversation about the football game yesterday. And I used to live and die with the Eagles and live and die with the Phillies. And now it's just so meaningless to me. And I'll sit down and watch a game, but I'd rather be you know, looking for the truth and witnessing to people and trying to get them to understand that the prince of the power of the air, that is Satan, he is the one who is controlling all of this stuff. And the people who are in the most high positions in this world, listen, it's WWE. They have to have the good guys and they have to have the bad guys. And that's how they divide and conquer us. But I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Well, it seems so many of us are so content to be, you know, spoon-fed this garbage at the bottom of Plato's cave. And like you, I don't know that I went into it as kicking and scratching as maybe you were, because I was wide awake to 9/11. I was wide awake to this and that and that and this. All I needed was one thing right off the bat. And I was like, okay, the fact that I can see entirely too far debunks anything they said. I don't need anything else. Somebody will say, well, what about this? What about? No. No. And I can't even tell you how many pilots I know. One of them, a former Marine Corps pilot. I said, hey, when you're up there, he's now flying for American Airlines. I'm like, hey, when you're up there, do you see a curve? No, I don't. And that to me alone tells me everything I need to know. I mean, I don't care what man has to say at this point. You know, there's a reason in the classical education, you were once taught the trivium, and it was taught in America about 150 years ago. And through that, grammar, logic, and rhetoric, one of the key things you would do was examine your own personal experience of what you can observe, what you can see, what you can touch. And it's funny, like you said, I went back. I couldn't believe there was somebody that put out a video, showed all these different globes out there. And in fact, I think I told Raul, I was out in one of the local towns here, and they had like a 100-year-old or 120-year-old dictionary. I looked up firmament, and of course, it's not the definition we have now. I wish I'd have kept the picture of it. Looked up the word firmament and what it meant. And then I also looked up some other things that I know we can't get into regarding the Holocaust and some other things, but there's a whole variety of things that everybody fundamentally believes that are nothing more than manufactured lies, as I said a moment ago. Well, let's get into the book, because George, if I'm not careful, I could honestly, there's not a question I asked you so far that we couldn't make an entire show out of. So we're going to definitely have to have you back. Good night. When I heard you were writing this book, when you came out with it on your podcast, I was like, okay, I got to get it. And by the way, folks, here it is right here. I bought this thing 2 weeks ago, Exposing Dispensationalism, How an Invented Prophetic System Reshaped Modern Christianity. I bought this thing about 2 weeks ago, but folks, I got a stack of books on the coffee table down there, and this is that time of year where I'm going at 100 miles an hour. Usually when a guest comes on, I will have at least read part of the book, but I think George and I are coming from the same place here, because I was raised a dispensational person. In every part of my existence growing up, I mean, it was all dispensational. Even Clarence Larkin stuff, dispensational truths and all that kind of stuff that I was taught. And then you talk about, I think the way you describe your introduction to biblical earth is what I had when I discovered that, hey, this was all, C.I. Scofield was a complete charlatan. Everything I was taught, well, complete lie. Now, I didn't have this eureka moment necessarily on flat earth, but I definitely did when it came to this information. So instead of me monologuing on like this, what made you feel compelled to write this book, even though I think it needs to be written?
So this book had more than one kind of why I should write this book. One was, like you and I was in the military, and Americans support war because of the evangelical church and dispensationalism. Israel good, everybody else bad. Number two, this false worship, of the geopolitical state of Israel within the church. I want you to, sometimes you have to just take a moment, sit down and break things down to their lowest common denominator. These churches like John Hagee and Dr. Jeremiah, who, by the way, Dr. Jeremiah, I'm not saying he doesn't love the Lord. He's just disillusioned because understand that these people infiltrated the Bible College, like the Moody Bible College, I think in Chicago, the Dallas Seminary, and even I think Philadelphia before they changed their name. So, you know, over the last 50 years, you have these pastors in a pulpit during a church service saying that they should turn Iran or Iraq into a parking lot. So again, break it down to its lowest common denominator. You're having pastors saying that we should take the lives of God's creation and support the people who hate Jesus Christ. And if you think I'm understating that, then you have never taken a moment to read the Talmud or understand the entire New Testament of the Bible, which is the Jews rejecting Jesus, but they were able to infiltrate, and I'll keep it very light, brother, we're on YouTube, I understand. they were able to infiltrate the Bible seminaries, and that's what I texted Raul today. I said the two of the biggest deceptions in our lifetime is to get people to believe that we're on a spinning ball, and if you want to break your calculator, according to their science, you know, we've been here for 14 billion years, and look how fast the solar system's traveling. How far have we traveled in 14 billion years? You know, Occam's razor, the simplest explanation normally is. But the two biggest deceits Satan has put on the people is that we're on a spinning ball, and that the people who love Jesus, I'm sorry, the people who despise Jesus must be revered. And the last church I went to, I had a lot of heart-to-hearts with the pastor, and he understood that, yeah, John 14:6 says, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. I looked many times, Billy. There's no asterisk at the end of there. There's no dual covenant. And he was an older guy. He. But during the services, it was all Israel. Pray for Israel. Yeah, pray for Israel that they fall on their knees and accept Christ. And, you know, I'll tell these folks, there's more Christians in Syria, in Iran, in North Korea, in China than in Israel. Less than 1% of the population follows Christ. And most of those, you want to talk about persecution. You tell somebody over there that you love Christ. And that's where the Noahide laws come in. And we can save that for another day. But if you don't understand how deep these Noahide laws go and the part about worshiping false idols and what they consider Jesus, and what the punishment is, it's a very deep rabbit hole. So, yeah, it was important for me to get it out because the churches are broken. And by the way, I'll give you a sneak preview. This isn't going to be up till Christmas. This is just the first edition. This book's called Return to Scripture, The Church We Were Called to Be. And I have been in so many churches since I moved back here, and they're either zero discipleship or they have women pastors, and I'm not denigrating women. It's just very clear the Bible says there shouldn't be women pastors. Don't come at George. Paul wrote it, divinely inspired through God. Or there's no discipleship whatsoever, or they're pushing this dispensational nonsense. And so I entered seminary about a year and a half ago, and I'll be finishing up in the spring. And I'm planning a church, but I'm not sure exactly, Billy, what type of church the Lord wants me to plant, or if it's going to be a revival moving from town. I don't know what the Lord wants me to do right now, but I know we got to get out there and wake people up more than just 9/11 and vaccine. Those things are extremely important, but also, you know, understand that there's a world beyond this life, and we've really got to get people on board and get them to read their Bible, not let a pastor tell them what is the truth, right? They'll take the pastor's sermon as gospel, but they won't even read the gospel for themselves. And I say that at my podcast. Don't take my word for it. Take what I say, write it down, and then do your own research. That's the reason we're in the situation we are to begin with, because you believe somebody without looking into it.
Sadly, so many of these so-called pastors, I mean, from my standpoint, are just nothing more than hirelings. I mean, I've seen over and over and over, like you, I was appalled that people are, that so-called pastors here in the United States of Amnesia are calling for the death of fellow Christians in Gaza and all these other places. It is just absolutely sickening. And sadly, so many other people out there are just so easily. And I know we blame a lot of boomers out there. I get it. I do a lot of it right here on this program as well, although there are a number of them. I will say 90% of the ones I come across, maybe 95, are absolutely Fox News, blah, 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 couldn't care less. I mean, wouldn't even, you know, examine any of this stuff. But there are a few out there, and we have a number of them that listen to this program as well. George, I got to ask, I've covered some of the, not entirely, I haven't done an entire show on it, but I have kind of skirted around C.I. Schofield and the Plymouth Brethren and all these other guys. Why don't you, I don't know to what extent you're able, but can you talk to us about where dispensationalism, because there are probably some people glazing over when we talk about that. Can you tell us where it originated and, you know, how it became what it is today?
Yeah. And again, the New Testament was written, you know, between 51, I think 1 Thessalonians was written 51 AD. Depending on who you ask, Revelation, some people say it was 68 AD, but most people say it was 93 AD. So you're talking about a 1800 year difference between the New Testament being produced and dispensationalism kind of being created. And there was a guy by the name of John Nelson Darby in the 1830s, and again, you're talking about 200 years ago, so the stories vary on how he came upon it. And he kind of created it, and then C.I. Schofield and others kind of ran with it. And the big nail in the proverbial coffin was when C.I. Schofield, who, as Billy mentioned correctly earlier, he was not a good man. He left his family. He was a charlatan. And he creates the Schofield Reference Bible, which actually, I forget what, I want to say it was right around page 1000 in his footnotes. It's a reference Bible, so he puts his own footnotes in there to get people to sway into the Zionism, etc. And he even mentions the Talmud, and it's heresy. He talks of, he's the one who kind of came up with the pre-trib, tribulation rapture, which there's a big stretch from Greek harpazo when it says caught up in the air. That refers to the Greek word harpazo and then a Latin word raptura. And then they decided it was a rapture. And this theology says Jesus has to come back twice, once to pull us up before the tribulation. And then again, he comes down for his new kingdom. And the entire New Testament is about persecution and suffering of Christians. And it's just amazing to me the mental gymnastics that you have to do to buy off on dispensationalism. And if you just sit down and read the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24 into 25 and correlate that with Revelation 6, there's so many, it just makes sense. And he even mentions the olive tree in both of them. That's how amazing the Bible is. But dispensationalism is that certain parts of the Bible are different sets of time, and there's different stories, and it's very clear that, you know, this is one continuous story. The New Testament complements the Old Testament. The most misunderstood text in all of the Bible is Genesis 22. Most pastors won't even touch it in their pulpit. It was one of my favorite sermons I did, because that's when Abraham went up Mount Moriah with Isaac. It took him 3 days, by the way. How long was Jesus in the tomb? 3 days. Isaac asks dad, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says, the Lord will provide, and the Lord provides for us. He sets Abraham on the altar, raises his knife, and the God and the angels say, don't touch that child. God is showing us that not only will he never ask us to do something that he wouldn't do, he will go further, because when Jesus got on the cross, God did not stop that. He allowed that to happen. And, you know, Abraham looked over and saw a ram in the thicket, and they sacrificed the ram. From the ram to the lamb, God always provides. That's why they named Mount Moriah he will provide. And it's just so amazing. But they take this, the dispensationalists, they take all of these scriptures, they twist them around, and this dual covenant, you know, well, after the rapture, the Jews are going to, they're going to come around. There's a whole other covenant for them. So they almost put this dual covenant theology into it where, well, Christians, you have to accept Christ as stated in John 14, 6 and everywhere else in the New Testament. But if you're a Jew, don't worry about it. You're good. You know, and it's just the most ridiculous thing. And it saddens me to such a certain extent that people will stand in the altar, guys who had spent 4 years in Bible college with the words right in front of them and still believe and hang flags in their church, that 666 flag.
Oh my goodness.
In their church. I've been in churches where they're hanging the flag behind the altar. And I'm like, these people are going to bring back the third temple and sacrifice. They're going to start sacrificing again because they rejected the Messiah. You are worshiping a false Messiah. And dispensationalism has a lot of different kind of tentacles to it. It affects the tribulation. It makes, again, it puts Israel on a different pedestal than us. And it is just broken theology that needs to be exposed. And that's why I wrote the book, Exposing Dispensationalism. And again, I went on a terrible tantrum. I'm usually a host too. I'm not a guest very often, so I apologize if I'm ranting.
No, you're doing a great job, and you're laying it out there in a way that, you know, I've kind of covered in some ways, but certainly not to the depth that you are right now. I've kind of put a number of warning shots over there, and I've made it very, very clear and lost a lot of people along the way. Also, I can't even tell you. I mean, when I came out against Israel, it would have been less shocking if I came out as trans. I mean, for a number of these people out here, I'm telling you, George, they were losing their ever-loving minds.
And these people were probably like Christians, right?
Oh, absolutely. They were sitting here telling me, well, this and this. I'm like, look, I know the story. I've been taught this my whole life. Examine it for yourself. There's a reason why they don't allow you to do DNA tests over there. Yeah. You play a lot of, you know, stuff from way back from, I think you used to play, do you still play Tex Mars from time to time?
Yeah, I haven't done classic audio in a minute, but if you go back through the catalog, we have Tex Mars, Bill Cooper, a lot of great classic audio that's been kind of buried that really should be replayed.
Well, Tex Mars did probably, I have got to find this thing and send it to you. He did a play-by-play, you know, I think it was a couple of years before he died, and he was laying it all out, how even people from over there were saying, hey, we might want to put a damper on a lot of this DNA testing stuff over here, because when you get down to brass tacks, we have no Abrahamic blood to begin with. So, you know, does that make a difference to any of the evangelicals out there that have been spoon-fed this nonsense their whole lives? So, I mean, you know, to get down to the book again, what are some of the most common prophetic beliefs that Christians assume are biblical but actually originated from dispensational theology?
Yeah, the biggest one is the pre-tribulation rapture, for sure, without a doubt, is the biggest one. And again, that is something that just came about, you know, 150 years ago when C.I. Schofield came around and started publishing. By the way, I think Oxford is the one that picked it up. So anytime Oxford Publishing is involved with the power of Mr. Moody, who was a huge evangelical with deep pockets, who started the Moody Bible Institute. And if you just take time to do the research, in most cases, even on Wikipedia, you can find an Israeli connection there as well as like the Graham family and all of them. I mean, if you look at Samaritan's Purse, which is ran by Franklin Graham, they're worth $8 billion with a B dollars. And he pays himself, you know, close to $1 million a year. And that's just from that, not including what he gets from the church.
Hold on, George. Wait, hang on. Let me just stop you for a second. Would this be the same Franklin Graham that told all of his parishioners and all of us to go out here and get this death jab? Would that be the same guy?
100%. And brother, you know the deal. If you're on the world stage, you're part of the club. You're an actor. And that's why even Paula White and Billy Graham, and which, by the way, I could play a clip for you when he was on the Larry King show 20 years ago. And Larry asked him, you know, what about the Jews and Islam? Are they going to hell? Well, I really can't say. I don't know. When the Bible clearly states you are either in Christ or you're out of Christ. or your antichrist, I should say. And he even, it's very frustrating that, that there's been a lot of damage done to the church over the last 50 years. And many of these churches, especially where I live, brother, they're lost. I sent Raul a clip from Sunday. Ask him about that, how awful. It was a 5-minute clip from a 78-year-old lesbian pastor 10 minutes down the street from me that ran it for 5 minutes. It's just these churches have been infiltrated by Satan. And we need good men to stand up and take these churches back, or to start your own church like I'm doing.
Yeah, you know, Scipio Eruditus, I actually go to his church.
Do you?
Yeah, I go to Scipio's Bible study every Sunday because, and why? I mean, sadly, you know, I would love to be in the same room with a lot of other people out there that, you know, that isn't being fed this nonsense. But I live about 45 minutes north of Asheville, and you would honestly, you would have better luck finding the bones of Bin Laden than finding an actual preacher out here that isn't either seriously woke. I mean, bro, this is like the wokest of the woke when it comes to, I mean, this is San Francisco in these mountains. That's exactly what it is. You just can't find it out here. So I have to do this stuff virtually, or I listen to Pastor Chuck Baldwin on Sunday, or I catch glimpses from you, or, you know, Raul sends me something. This is where I have to go to church these days, because I don't know that, unless I was in Kalispell, Montana, I'm just not finding a whole lot of people out there that are saying what is biblical and isn't afraid to call these people out in that country we call Israel.
Yeah. Pastor Baldwin is phenomenal. He's up there at Kalispell, Montana. I'd also highly recommend Pastor Adam Fannin. He's down in Jacksonville, Florida. He's on YouTube, Law of Liberty Church. And by the way, if you just put in Law of Liberty Dispensationalism, he has like a 35-minute clip. He breaks it down really well, because he was, even as a pastor, a dispensationalist until 10 or 15 years ago, and he sat down and read it for himself, because once again, he was trained in the classical dispensationalist way to perceive something. And then somebody said, hey, read that again. And he read it. He understood that he had been lied to. And I enjoy him. He does two services on Sunday and one on Wednesday night, but it's the same here. And I'm in rural Western Delaware, chicken farms all around us, but we have been infiltrated as well with this progressive woke mindset. And, you know, working all week, you want to hear the word of God, and then you get fed some nonsense like that. It's just got to be, I know there's people out there who want to serve the Lord and to be, you know, given the word, the truth. But man, I think a lot of it was like, for instance, the Methodist church here, they had a financial crisis in the 90s. And if you look at the people who bailed them out, that's the people they have to answer to. So that's one reason I'm not like Pastor Baldwin. I don't want to be a 990. I want to be an independent church, independent of the government. I'm never going to be told to close my church, to close my doors. It doesn't matter what emergency. There's no greater emergency than your salvation.
So I amen to all that. Man, I got to ask, George, you know, it takes a lot of time to write a book and, you know, to get this stuff off and running. What's your prime? I think you kind of got into it a little bit ago, but who's the main audience for this? I mean, are you seriously hoping that you can wake up a lot of these evangelicals, or are you trying to reach the younger audience? Is there a target audience at all, or are you just putting it out there hoping that it'll find the right person?
I think that's it, Billy. So like, I started with the Fact Hunter, grew into the Flat Earth Files, because nobody within that Fact Hunter community really wanted to hear about the Flat Earth. They wanted to hear about every other conspiracy but Flat Earth. And then years go by, they still trust my voice. Then they finally go listen to the Flat Earth Files. And the first episode is Why the Lie. And that's so important to understand why they go out of their way to do that. And I already mentioned why they do it. So I think if you put enough out there in kind of different areas, it'll eventually bring people around to the spiritual side of things. And with dispensationalism, it outside of the progressive wokeness that has infiltrated the church, like last week I did the religious part of the Matrix that was like layer 9. And I played so many clips from churches around the country with these lesbian pastors, these tranny pastors, and how they have turned churches into absolute clown shows. And this is the house of God. And you're mocking God in his house. And I'm telling you, I think it's James chapter 1, verse 5, I think it is. And it talks about how these people, these shepherds who are leading their flock that way, there's a literally a special place in hell for these people. And I'm trying to get people to understand that just because you go to that church and you've been going to that church for 20, 30, 40 years, you've got to make a change in your life. You can't. Listen, man, when you get in trouble, right, and you need a lawyer, you're not looking for an average lawyer. And when you get that, you know, diagnosis from your doctor, you're not looking for the most average doctor. You know, when you are talking about your spiritual being and eternity, and you are entrusting that with some mediocre, nonsensical pastor, you need to reevaluate yourself. Get out of the church. Do like Billy, myself. They are. It's not as edifying to me to listen to somebody and you. There's nothing better than being in person, having the Lord's Supper. That's important, right? Baptizing people is so very important. Those are things that are hard to do online. But at the same time, that is better than being a part of that synagogue of Satan.
Well, George, I don't know what anybody would call my state of mind right now when I consider everything you just said there. We have, you know, trans-testicle polar bears in a pulpit right now. We got this, we got that. I mean, here in Asheville, you could have them put on a ballerina slippers and a tutu and have them sing Good Ship Lollipop, and they'd be okay with it. It's a crazy, crazy world we live right now, but it also makes me realize that the Lord is beyond long-suffering, because I don't know how you can do, I mean, and I know that I'm not talking out of school. You know, I'm talking to a combat soldier here. And with the benefit of knowing history and hindsight, I think you realize that all wars are bankers' wars, and all the things that are happening right now are done at the behest of these ultra-wealthy people that are really pulling the shots. But sadly, we got a populace that could not care less. I mean, 90% of the people in my family, honestly, I've screamed this stuff from the mountaintops. They couldn't care less. So I got to ask, I mean, this isn't on the topic of your book, but I'm asking this, you know, as a guy who I know is highly informed, where do you see America? Not now, but maybe 5 years from now, if we don't straighten up and smell the corruption before we fall asleep drinking the hemlock.
You know, I don't know, but if you had to, you know, you're asking me just my opinion. I think that all the technology is in place for this, you know, they want to kill the dollar, the physical dollar, the cash. They want us to be a cashless society. They're finishing up putting all these flat cameras on every corner. So that will help integrate the social credit score, which is already and has been running in China, I think, since 2020. 6G, I think, is set to drop in 29 or 30. So I will tell you, Billy, that I think by 2030, 2031, the world that we live in today will not resemble anything. And we're talking 4 or 5 years. It will not resemble anything that we are living like today. And before anybody laughs at that, just remember what life was like in 2019 and what life is like today. How much has changed, how much they've normalized working from home and DoorDash and Zoom. And our lives changed overnight. Mom and pop businesses got killed. They already started putting that in the back of your mind that cash is bad, it's dirty. Remember, a lot of places wouldn't take cash because it had germs on it. They've already eliminated the penny. Trump already started his little thing for the children so they could start giving money to the government, which,
oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh, which eventually could become, you know, it's working so great for the kids, let's do it for everybody. And oh, there's your account for universal basic income. You just have to get this microchip implanted in your hand. And here's the thing. When the B system comes, it's not going to be, ooh, here's the B system. It's going to be presented as something phenomenal, right? You're going to get free healthcare. You're going to get universal basic income. No more passports. You just scan your hand and all of that. They're going to make it sound like the greatest thing since popcorn. But contrary to what the great John MacArthur, which, you know, I used to think highly of him until he said, oh, no, you can get the mark of the beast and still go to heaven. Ooh, I don't know about that, John. But, you know, things are set up for those things could possibly take place in our lifetime. And again, we're told in the Bible numerous times that if you follow Christ, you're going to be persecuted. And but you shouldn't look at things like the Olivet Discourse and Revelations as a terrible thing, because as those things progress and come to us, that means we're that much closer to not dealing with this nonsense anymore. And, you know, I say that as a spiritual person, as a human person, as a father, as an uncle, and as a grandfather, that is something you have to, because I do, we grow our own food, we raise our own chickens, we're on a well, we do those things to prepare so when that system, if it does happen in our lifetime, you know, and we're friends with the Amish so we can barter and do things like that, we want to be prepared to understand that we're not going to be part of the community. We're going to be outcast. And by the way, being in the truth community is good training, because to a certain extent, we're outcast, right? We're the here's crazy Uncle George. But I'm okay with that because, you know, the Bible says so. And again, between biblical cosmology and what happened in 2020, the scales fell from my eyes, and I can observe the world for what it is.
Yeah. Wow, George. I don't even know how to follow that up, man. We're coming to the end of it here, and I got about 50,000 more questions to ask you, but I guess we'll just have to do a part two on this here in the near future, maybe even drag in Raul. Sandy, thank you so much for the super chat, and thank everybody else out there. Thor at the door, I do remember you. Yeah, with Freeman Fly down there in South Carolina. That's actually, one of my biggest introductions into that flat earth space was at the height of COVID. They had like the I don't know, national conference for flat earth in South Carolina, which is about it was 2 hours away from me at a, strangely enough, at a Masonic temple.
That's right.
I did it. I went down there not knowing, and I'll be honest with you, George, I thought they were onto something. I didn't have a dog in a race one way or the other. I was like, okay, this is someplace I can go with my son at the height of this nonsense. Here's the first thing I noticed as soon as we got into the parking lot. Number one, mask. It was filled to the brim. Not one person was wearing a mask.
That's right.
Not one. And I'm like, okay, I'm already listening. So we got in here and met a bunch of really awesome people out here. And I could not believe that people had come down all the way from Canada and from Washington State for a one-day conference, a one-day conference, because they were so starved to be in the room with people that actually had some sense.
Yep.
So that weren't buying any of this. And man, I heard some real horror stories in there. Wish I would have met you there, George. But anyway, where does everybody go to get this book? And tell them where they can find your podcast, folks. I highly recommend it. I'm a big fan of his work. Big fan of both of his podcasts, and I think you ought to check him out. So, George, how does everybody find you?
So, the books are available on Amazon. We have this book, which is only $4.99. It's called Foundations in Faith, You're Not Who You Are Anymore. It's a guide for new believers. I'm working on part two, which is the Disciple Maker's Handbook. That probably won't be out till later in the fall. And then, of course, Exposing Dispensationalism. Both of those are available on Amazon, or you can go to our website, which is simply foundationsinfaith.net. There's a 24/7 streaming radio with, you know, like-minded people. Myself, Joe Harper's on there, just rotating files you'll enjoy. There's a prayer wall, and then our books are available there as well. And I think that's about it. But it was a pleasure being on here, brother. I can't tell you how thankful I am that you had us on, and I'd love to get together even in person one day. I'd love to break bread with you, but thank you so much for your time and this platform. And it was wonderful to meet a fellow brother in arms.
Oh man, what a joy it was for me. Raul, you hit this one out of the park, bro. I can't, you know, you kept saying for the longest time, you two need to hook up and, you know, do a podcast together. Thank you so much for setting that up. And maybe next time we do a trifecta here and just lay it all down. Maybe we lose the entire audience on the Print Pimpcast. All right, y'all, you know the deal. Stay alert, stay alive. I'm grooving with the truth, feeling that just groove, we got the answers. All we need to do, listen to the earth, they got us through. Let's see the change, watch the world spin.
from the smallest frown. Can harmony begin in the cycle of life? For the magic's alive. Tune it to